appliance or dishwasher on catalogue products only.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
Australian Senator Nick Xenophon has sacked an SA Best candidate after a Facebook photo emerged of the man holding his fist to a wax model of pop star Rihanna. Rhys Adams was named and then dropped as a Xenophon candidate over his Facebook photos, which also show him groping a waxwork model of Toni Collette. The caption accompanying the Rihanna photo says, "It's Chris, baby," with him holding a fist to the model. The pop star was assaulted in 2009 by then-boyfriend Chris Brown. A man has been charged after allegedly snatching a newborn baby from a hospital in Sydney's West. The 28-year-old man allegedly left Blacktown Hospital on Friday with the baby and two women aged 27 and 47. He presented himself at Kempsey Hospital yesterday where he was assessed. The baby was found at a Blacktown medical centre and is now in state care. He was refused bail and will face court today. A taxi driver sparked a major terror alert when his car ploughed into pedestrians in the heart of one of London's busiest tourist areas, leaving 11 people injured. People fled for their lives after the black Toyota Prius mounted the pavement close to the Natural History Museum in South Kensington on Saturday afternoon local time. Police say the incident was not being treated as terror-related and a man had been arrested over a traffic collision. A possible Labor-Green coalition has narrowed the gap with the ruling National Party in New Zealand's final election tally, strengthening their position ahead of talks with the small Nationalist Party, which holds the balance of power. The final September 23 election results released yesterday showed National won 56 seats and Labor and Greens together took 54, leaving them both reliant on New Zealand First's 9 seats to meet the 61 needed for a majority in Parliament. National lost 2 seats to the Labor-Green bloc compared with preliminary results, a development which Labor leader Jacinda Ardern said buoyed their position at the negotiating table.
Results show that the majority of New Zealanders voted against the status quo. We are in the position to form a stable, durable coalition government. I'm absolutely pleased with that.
Tens of thousands of people are showing their support for Spanish unity in the capital, Madrid. The BBC's Charles Haviland has more.
This rally brought out huge crowds, many of them draped in Spanish flags and chanting in support of the country's unity and against its breakup. A senior official of the governing People's Party urged the end of what he called the nightmare of Catalonia's independence bid. Some in the crowd expressed shame at the violent tactics used by police last Sunday during the Catalan referendum vote. But many wanted the government to invoke a clause in the constitution, not yet used, that allows Madrid to take full control of any autonomous region.
Briefly, Hurricane Nate has strengthened slightly as it churns through the Gulf of Mexico, threatening to hit the U.S. Central Gulf Coast as a Category 2 storm after killing at least 25 people in Central America. Back home, solar cars from more than 20 countries are set to race from Darwin to Adelaide in the World Solar Challenge, and a man charged with fatally stabbing a German tourist on a Brisbane road will face court today. This is AIR News. Ford's Scott McLaughlin left the Bathurst faithful in shock and himself in tears of joy when he clocked 2 minutes 03.83 seconds, the fastest supercars lap ever at Mount Panorama. He became the first to crack the 204 barrier on the mountain after shattering the record mark he'd set barely 24 hours earlier. McLaughlin told 10 he's ecstatic.
Oh my God, I'm over the moon. To everyone at Shell V-Power, my God, all our fans, I could hear you guys, it was crazy, so thank you. That was the most incredible moment of my life.
Nick Kyrgios has kept alive his hopes of qualifying for the ATP finals by beating Alexander Zverev to reach the final of the China Open in Beijing. The in-form Canberran prevailed 6-3, 7-5 to set up a clash with world number one Rafael Nadal in the decider.
There's been a lot of questions of whose time it is in the tennis world, but today it is Kyrgios' time. He wins the battle of the youngsters.
Audio courtesy Tennis TV. Kyrgios has won 9 of his last 11 matches and dropped just one set en route to the final, where he'll look to repeat his quarterfinal victory over Nadal in Cincinnati in August. To A-League results, Newcastle beat the Mariners 5-1 and Sydney FC got up 1-0 over Melbourne Victory. Perth Wildcats won 96-86 over Brisbane Bullets in NBL. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. partly cloudy. A medium, well, they say 60% chance of showers most likely during this afternoon and evening. Light winds becoming northerly, 15 to 20 k. Sydney heading for a top temperature of 23 degrees. Jimmy, what about at Balmain and up at Bathurst?
Yes, they're racing at Bathurst today, Ray. 13 degrees presently at Balmain with an expected top of 23 degrees. And at Bathurst, can get a little chilly there to start the day. It'll be, in fact, 6 degrees on Tuesday morning at about this time, the minimum temperature. But right now, today is expected 22 degrees and showers increasing. Mm. Might be a little bit of carnage on the mountain.
In 6 days, Australia's richest race.
So, Greg, what's your best advice for the spring carnival?
Let Sky Racing steer you towards the winners.
Rads is right. Sky Racing does all the hard work for you this spring carnival with unrivaled knowledge and passionate opinions from our expert commentary team. It's the best way to pick your winners.
Get reliable, real-time information on every horse in the race.
How good is that?
Be smart this spring. Watch Sky Racing on 526 and Thoroughbred Central on 528.
The spring carnival on Sky Racing. Get closer to the action.
Only on Foxtel.
And they're off. Fascinating Fascinator leads the charge. Club with Champagne in hand is close behind to the marquee. No, it's the terrace. Now the dance floor. It's stride for stride on the trackside lawn to the stables. The crowd roar. Oh, no, finish.
Expect unexpected at the Tab Everest this Saturday at Royal Randwick. Featuring the world's richest turf race worth an astonishing $10 million. Don't miss out on Australia's biggest racing event. Tickets selling fast. Pre-book now at theraces.com.au.
Hi, Australia. Mike Joyce from the U.S. Racing Television Network, TVG, here. And I know you've heard of Winx, but wait until you get a glimpse of U.S. racing sensation Arrowgate.
And they're into the stretch, and it's the Breeders' Cup winner. It's Arrowgate in front, leading by three with an eighth of a mile to go. What a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrowgate rocks in the Pegasus!
Catch his final racing season on the track. Right here, across the Sky Racing Network.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Code of Practice, which has been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. Content on this station is regulated by the code. The code covers areas such as material not suitable for broadcast, news and current affairs, Australian music, live-hosted entertainment, and the promotion of gambling during live sports. You can obtain a copy of the code by contacting this station or from the Commercial Radio Australia website, commercialradio.com.au.
Milos Nikovic, Berlanta available, can hit them from long range, will try one. What a goal! What a superb goal by Josh Berlanta! It's just his second in the Hyundai A-League, and it is a peach!
It's one corner remaining for Chas Mostyn. 250 hard fought kilometres, and Super Cheap Auto Racing is victorious. Well done, Chas Mostyn!
What a way to finish off. Here he goes, he winds up, Buddy. Eight or not? Yes! Eight is great for Buddy Franklin. The siren sounds on the Swans' first win. They've had to wait 7 weeks longer than they thought.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, if there's a void in your life right now because there's no football, whatever the code happens to be, then we're here to fill it on a Sunday morning, and we'll do that for the next 3 hours, Ray Thomas. What do you think?
Like it. Yeah.
Well, it might
good
actually,
intro. Good intro.
Might actually work towards our talk topic for today, which, by the way, you've come up with, so congratulations on that. Well done. Always hard to get something past the producers here, isn't it, when you're trying to get a talk topic up? Poor old Hamish, the panel operator. He tries every week.
Wasn't he responsible for last week's talk topic?
Oh, we might have let him get one through here or there, but it's a talk topic we'll get to very shortly. It's a big program, dare I say it, Ray, 1 week out of the season, and it's
it is
a massive program still. We've got our race replays, which we can look forward to. Ronnie Quinton's on. Big week for Ron. Cleared of cobalt use, excessive cobalt use, found in the feed. The ramifications for others suspended might be far-reaching, but we'll have to wait and see. So he then took a couple of horses to the races in Daisy Doom and Dixie Blossom and went 1-2. Fairly good effort, that. And they went 2-1 previously in the Golden Pennant. So they've reversed the result there in that one. We'll speak to Ronnie about that. David Payne, we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago about Ace High, and Ace High won superbly in the Spring Champion Stakes yesterday. Really good win, and looks like onto the Derby for Ace High. Zorba's here to give us a final pricey on what he thought of season 2017. I think he was very strongly in the camp of a Melbourne Storm victory last Sunday, and that's exactly what we saw. Ty Anglin had an incredible day where he won the Group 1 at Royal Randwick, but missed his brother's wedding in Emerald. So you can't be in two places at one time. Yeah, near Emerald. So pretty hard to get to up there in the back blocks of Queensland. Robbie Slater will be in to talk football with us, replacing Phil Moss. We've subbed him off. And we stood there with the big sign with the red numbers on for Moss and the green numbers on for Slater. You're on. So Robbie Slater will be joining us today. We've got our event cinemas quiz. Not the ZNZ Jewelers quiz. The event cinemas have worked their way into the program very successfully. So event cinemas quiz. Michael Carayannis will be our rugby league correspondent during the course of the Rugby League World Cup. And we'll look forward to his comments today. We're going to start today because there is so much going on from a Rugby League World Cup point of view. Who's playing where? We have to wait and see. But there we go. We can see that throughout the course of the morning. Peter Tai is a co-owner of Winx, and she was just incredible yesterday. Ray might talk of the quality of the opposition, but you know, this is that confirmed to everyone. After the three runs back this prep where you thought, oh, maybe it's not me, is she, well, maybe.
A few question marks.
Few question marks there. None yesterday at Flemington. We'll have a sports update with Tanya as well. Trent Lenscow from tab.com.au, Scotty Foster as well, and of course we'll take your calls on 1353 53. And in fact, to the best, no, we're going to do a quiz a little bit later on. We'll make it, we'll make people work for them a little bit, won't we? Everest tickets. Everest is, I tell you what, the incredible thing about the Everest is didn't exist, what, 8 months ago. Didn't exist. And now it's on the front page of every major newspaper in the country. I think the imagination has well and truly been captured. And the incredible thing about it, maybe they went a week early with no footy on, but nearly 18,000 people at the races yesterday, which would be a very pleasing result for the ATC and Racing New South Wales. Good morning to you, Ray Thomas.
Morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, you nailed it, Jim. Terrific crowd yesterday. 20,000 at Flemington, 18,000 almost at Randwick, and there's a real momentum building now into the Spring Carnival. And, look, I know the ATC don't want to put a figure on it, but the pre-sales for next week suggest a 30,000-plus crowd for
the
Everest. No, 100%. And that'll be the biggest crowd in Sydney racing for probably the best part of 20 years.
What? How many turned up on Black Caviar Day?
27,000.
27,000.
Yeah, the grandstand like wasn't quite completed that day too. So
that's amazing.
Yes. So it looks like 30,000-plus. Fingers crossed for the weather. The final field's been determined. Outstanding field with seven Group 1 winners, etc., in the race. And final Group 1 race of the year in Sydney yesterday, Jim, and it was good to see Ace High win and back up that Gloaming Stakes win and give David Payne and a loyal stable client, John Cordina, their first Group 1 together. And for Ty Anglin, another great result. He's had a tremendous Spring Carnival, hasn't he, Jim? And you mentioned Winx. So the opposition wasn't great. Humidor probably wasn't at his best yesterday, but doesn't matter. She was just absolutely
ridiculous.
Awesome, and she's into $1.25 now for the Cox Plate. I've got to
from
go back
$1.40.
Yeah, I've got to go back through the record books. I think Farlap might have started shorter in an era when the Cox Plate wasn't the biggest race of the day back when.
Right.
So I've got to check just where she stands now in terms of $1.25, but it's ridiculous now. She dominates that race.
What was Kingston Town's price back in the day when
he was odds
going
against
for the second and third?
I think it was odds against, particularly in the third one.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't think he ever starred odds on. He might have starred odds on in the first, but he certainly was nowhere near odds that Winx will go around in 3 weeks' time, and she was amazing. Jimmy, a couple of things that captured my attention overnight. Have you heard about Ben Stokes? He's left out of the Ashes. I'll rephrase that. He's not making the trip with the Ashes squad for England down under to Australia at the end of this month. Steve Finn has been added to England's squad pending that police investigation of that incident, that late night incident Ben Stokes was involved in last week. So that's a major loss for England's Ashes hopes. He is a pivotal player.
Pivotal player, key player, one of the guys who is going to be, you would think, do well in these test matches. And we know how close, well, we think it's going to be. So he is a massive loss. But given what we saw, the vision that we saw, there was no alternative. for the England and Wales Cricket Board.
Absolutely.
So it
continued on, didn't he?
It went on and on.
So
if you didn't see the vision and they said, oh, he was involved in an altercation, and you could have passed that off as anything. Oh, you know, he was targeted because he's Ben Stokes, and you know, it was really nothing in it, and you know, all this. But when you saw that, well, there is no excuse for the manner in which he behaved. And some of those people who have gone out there and tried to defend his actions, it is ridiculous. Mm. Some of the things that have been said by ex-teammate Graham Swan, just ridiculous.
End of the day, that police investigation now will determine whether he comes. You've got to say he's long odds on to make it. And if he doesn't come, because I felt England probably would beat us down here, because what I saw when I was watching England over there in the Northern Hemisphere summer, and particularly Ben Stokes, he is such a good player now.
Yes.
And without him, that changes the whole balance of the team. Talking about teams, what did you make of the Kangaroos squad? A couple of obviously notable omissions, but a really strong squad as usual, led again by Cameron Smith, who was fantastic in the grand final. Should he have got man of the match ahead of Billy Slater in the grand final?
Oh, could easily have.
What do you think? I thought Cameron Smith had a lock on it, but
yeah, and that's the thing. He was a favourite in the market too, wasn't he? But Billy started. Billy played well too. It's not like he didn't play well. I think they didn't. I don't think they had a bad player, did they?
Oh, fantastic! Geez, they were good. Probably saved their best for last, didn't they? On the big stage, they were brilliant. You know. So.
Well, they were looking to build to that performance, weren't they? Their two semi-final performances weren't great, that was acknowledged by everyone, and then especially themselves, which is significant. But then remember, they beat. They played pretty well in that second half against the Broncos and won that half 24-0.
Yep.
And when Sean Fenson leaves the field...
He was 16 men for 77 minutes. Cohen Hess has got to play 60 instead of 30. It just changes whole balance.
Yeah. Cohen Hess in the last five or six minutes of the first half, he was absolutely gone. So, and you just think, that's the difference to it. But congratulations to the Melbourne Storm. They have been the best team all year. They deserve to win the grand final.
Correct.
Craig Bellamy has now featured in, every time he coaches a side, 58% of the time he makes the grand final. 58% of the time he makes the grand final. And you've got to consider there was one time where he wasn't allowed to make the grand final, and you can argue the merits of that for a long time. But it is just an imposing record. I describe him, and I know he's got a lot of support down there in the Melbourne Storm system, and they, you know, from an ownership point of view, all the way down. But he is clearly the most elite coach in any team sport in Australia.
I know you don't agree. We had this argument before, but whatever has to be done, just get him back coaching the Blues. That's my call. Just give him that 6 weeks off or
say about that.
Yeah, but mention the Kangaroo squad, and not surprisingly, Jim, the Storm did dominate that squad with Cameron Smith again to lead the Australians in the World Cup.
Cameron Munster's there as well, Michael Borgen, Jordan McLean there. He'll be a Cowboy next year. I think the big news is that Andrew Fifita won't be there. Rang Mal Meninga and said, look, I want out. I want to go and play with Tonga, as Jason Taumalolo did. Now, you can talk about how they did it and the way they did it, but from an international game point of view, it's fantastic. Talk about Tier 2 and Tier 1 nations. How long till Tonga is a Tier 1 nation?
Wow.
They'll have a very strong side. Samoa will be strong as well. And it's just added a new dimension into this World Cup that I think we're all looking for. We're looking forward to speaking to Michael Carayannis about that all the way through the Rugby League World Cup. Our talk topic for today, as prescribed by Dr. Ray Thomas, is what do you do on a Sunday when there's no footy on?
No cricket.
No cricket on. Like, we're in an abyss at the moment, aren't we?
Sunday afternoon abyss.
What about the when the semi-finals were on the Friday night and the Saturday night?
You watched the replay Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, well, Sunday afternoon. And the Wallabies had played on the Saturday. Now, the Wallabies are playing at 9 o'clock today, but the Wallabies had played on the Saturday night in Canberra. If only they put it on the Sunday. How many people would have sat down and watched the Wallabies?
You can't be that forward-thinking, Jim. That's progressive thinking. Well,
people texting me at
absolute
the time.
Massive hole in the programming. It was a walk-up start for the Wallabies to put it on.
Get to 3 o'clock on a Sunday and you think, what can I watch? I know you can watch Bathurst today, but that's what can you watch? What do you do? What do you do, Roman, with your Sunday? I'd imagine your lawn gets a start somewhere.
Yeah. The lawns, the gardening, long run, workout. Bit of work to do, eh? work.
Bit of work, okay.
But it's difficult, isn't it? Because you're always playing your day around
always
getting things ready for the footy.
Yeah, exactly.
For cricket.
So what do you do? And we're particularly looking forward to anything that Master Monkey might throw up this morning as well. 1353 53 is the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well, 0419 767 272. That's 0419 SMSBSB. And, of course, the tweets, send them through. At Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Be back with more. It's 20 past 7.
The Big Sports Breakfast has dusted off the clubs and is heading to Stonecutters Ridge this Wednesday. We'll be broadcasting live prior to tee-off for Tab Cares Golf Day, helping build awareness of the Steve Waugh Foundation.
The foundation is somewhere to turn for children and young adults with rare diseases.
So join us Wednesday from 5:30 a.m. on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1 when the Big Sports Breakfast comes to you live from Stonecutters Ridge. Thanks to Tab.
Mum, do you want to know the long-range forecast for this summer?
Yes.
Moderate temperatures, gentle breezes, and cool gift cards.
Gift cards?
When you buy a split-system air conditioner from Bingley.
Which one, Lionel?
We've got the latest models from Fujitsu, Mitsubishi Electric, Kelvinator, and Panasonic.
What could be better?
A bonus Bingley gift card, up to $250, depending on the size of the aircon.
So beat the heat this summer.
With a brand new aircon and a bonus gift card from Bingley.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au.
And they're off. Fascinating Fascinator leads the charge. Chloe with champagne in hand is close behind to the marquee. No, it's the terrace. Now the dance floor. It's stride for stride on the trackside lawn to the stables. The crowd roar. Oh, no finish.
Expect unexpected at the Tab Everest this Saturday at Royal Randwick. Featuring the world's richest turf race worth an astonishing $10 million. Don't miss out on Australia's biggest racing event. Tickets selling fast. Pre-book now at theraces.com.au.
Warrawee Needy retired the fastest horse on the planet. A brilliant horse with blistering speed. Has left the gate in 25 twos. A time rarely heard of. Visit yerrabee.com.au.
This song just looking at you. Oh, oh. Yeah, the drums, they swing low. And the trumpets, they go.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. On love to hear your thoughts on anything to do with sport, but particularly what you do on a Sunday afternoon now the football's home and the cricket hasn't started.
13:53.
Father of the year, you.
Oh, hey? Please.
Out in the backyard.
All right. I've got no footy on. I'll come and play in the backyard with you.
You don't say no when they do ask you, do they?
Oh,
surely
mate,
not.
They say, well, Austin asks. He had a party yesterday, came home from the party. First thing he said, we go out in the back, play football.
Football or cricket? Who's a cricketer, River or Austin?
No, football at the moment.
Okay.
They're getting into cricket first game next Saturday.
Oh, really? Yeah. They both like their cricket?
Well, River likes it because Austin likes it.
Okay.
Austin likes everything.
That's all right. So you go out there every time, mate. Cherish those moments.
Absolutely.
Grow up fast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know who's coach of the cricket side?
You?
Yeah.
So the boys are open the bowling, open the batting.
No, unfortunately, it'll be the other way around. Everyone else will get a bat, and then I'll say, righto, you two go in.
Good on you. Enjoy that?
Oh, I haven't started it yet. We start next week. Big pre-season we've had.
Are you training?
We had an hour down at the field the other day.
Well, all the team will just...
No, all the team.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ah. I might come down and watch James Smith in action, coordinating his team. You're not one of those parents, are you, who's full on?
Mate, that's what they are, the under-8s. You're literally coordinating them. If you can keep them all on the field.
Keep them watching the ball.
Exactly. Not picking daisies. If they're not picking daisies, I see it as a win.
It's all about fun.
Exactly.
It's all about fun. Great day racing yesterday at Randwick, as you mentioned, Jim. A terrific crowd, almost 18,000 there, and building up for the Everest next week. First of our race replays was the Tab Highway. Matty Dunn went 1-2-3 with Bronze Venom. All three will back up, along with potentially another five of his stablemates in next week's Tab Anniversary Highway. But here he is winning with Bronze Venom yesterday.
Albert, the leader from Red Knight, then Cascada, Rosser and Confidential the outside. Creeping up behind them is Bronze Venom, looking for room. Sovereign Air as well. Dear De Razors working into the clear, running a race as Cascada, Rosser, the favourite, hits the lead. 200 out, draws a length clear. Down the outside is Dear De Razor, and Bronze Venom's getting a split. It's Cascada, Rosser in front. Bronze Venom, the stable mate, is going to cause the upset. Bronze Venom got up to beat Cascada Rossa, and third home is Dear De Ray. So there's a trifecta for...
There you go. They put these races on for Matty Dunn and Matty Dale, don't they? Which is very nice.
Record 12 for Matty Dunn there.
Mm. Yeah, well, there you go. So that was worth $60,000, that race. Next week, you mentioned the TAB anniversary. That's actually worth $200,000. So no wonder he's bagging them all up there for that.
He could have potentially half the field with eight runners.
Yeah.
Jimmy, Matt Dunn went 1-2-3 in the TAB Highway with Bronze Venom, Cascada, Rossa and Dia de Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the day, there was only a three-horse race. Disappointing numbers. But
how does that happen?
The Port Macquarie Cup was on Friday. Took some of the stays away. Disappointing, but, the prize money's there. If you owned a stay, you'd be asking your trainer, why wasn't my stay a nominate, I think.
Absolutely.
Chris Waller had the three runners, went 1-2-3. It actually was a good race in the end to watch.
I know, I watched it. Yeah, it was a good race. However, it was a little bit embarrassing with three horses running around.
Absolutely. A person on Twitter did ask me, quite rightly, when was the last time two trainers have gone 1-2-3 in a Sydney Saturday meeting? Trifecta a race. I could never recall that happening before. One of our listeners made...
Didn't Guy Walter try to get
He 1-2-3 in a Doncaster.
In a Doncaster?
But two trainers to do it in the same program.
That's, no, not for me there.
Okay, move on.
You're asking the wrong bloke.
Jim's saying, move on. Okay. Roman Consul states, this is a good horse's race. You're on a roll over the years tends to suggest that the winner of this race goes on to bigger and better things. This colt is very, very good, Viridine.
Could have been turned to the corner in front. Going up the inside is Viridine, single bullet. England pulls the trigger there. Single bullet goes after, should have been. Viridine starting to find the line well. Single bullet and Viridine, they're paired off at the 175. Viridine lays it down to single bullet. Alberman late on the scene. But Viridine, the colt remains unbeaten. And Viridine draws clear to win the Roman Consul. Single bullet second. Beaujas kicked on for third.
So there you go, Viridine. Won very well indeed. One of the Brad Davison picks on that one as well. Don't worry, Ray Thomas got it as well. So where now for Viridine? What's James Cummings going to do with this?
He's four from four, Jimmy, now. Mm. Very promising, and I dare say he won't race again until Derby Day and the Coolmore Stud Stakes up the straight at Flemington, the Group 1.
So that's 4 weeks away?
Yep.
Mm.
Potentially could run maybe on Cox Plate Day, but... James Cummings certainly hadn't locked in a program, but geez, promising.
Mm.
He over-raced, pulled his head off yesterday, still out-sprinting when the button was pressed at the top of the straight. He was really good. On to the Spring Champion Stakes, Ace High, led throughout, made it a staying test. It was too tough.
Further back to Tangled as they straighten up now, and England goes for home on Ace High. He certainly put his cards on the table. But Tangled has found the fence and running on well. Dissolution into the clear, and Sully's involved in a barging match. Ace High in front, 200 metres out. Tangled on the inside, a length away. Sully's coming down the outside. Ace High in front from Tangled. Ace High a half in front, a neck in front. Tangled makes a last lunge at Ace High, but he'll miss. Ace High wins the Spring Champion. Ace High ahead on the line to Tangled. Sully flew home into third.
For David Payne and Ty Anglin, speaking to both men a little bit later on in the program now, an equal favourite Ace High for the Derby, which is in a month's time, $6 with Main Stage. Cliff's Edge, $9, along with Tangled.
Mm.
Well, that was a great race, wasn't it?
Oh, fantastic, yeah.
Great race. Tangled, $9 as well.
Well, Ace High and Tangled 1-2 in the Spring Champion. Main Stage and Cliff Edge went 1-2 in the Derby lead-up at Flemington yesterday, so not surprisingly, those four now dominate the Victoria Derby market. On then to the Angst Stakes, and last time these two mares clashed, and you mentioned, Jim, the Ron Quinton duo, it was Daisy Doom winning the Golden Pennant over Dixie Blossoms.
Yes.
Yesterday, Dixie Blossoms finally got the better of her stablemate.
And Dixie Blossoms is starting to pull out now as they flatten for the run in. My True Love at the 400 being joined by Imposing Lass. Daisy Doom being nursed up the rise. Savopinski up the rails. Dixie Blossoms starting to put in a big run on the outside. Dixie Blossoms goes up to Daisy Doom. Zenalicious running on. Dixie Blossoms and Daisy Doom. Dixie Blossoms gets a neck in front to Daisy Doom. Then Zenalicious. Dixie Blossoms in front. She makes it back-to-back wins in the Yanks. The first mare to do it. Dixie Blossoms beat the stablemate Daisy Doom. Third home Zenalicious.
Completes a very big week for Ronnie Quinton. We'll speak to him a little bit later on this hour as well. The Meyer Classic would be the next race on the program, you would think. That is 4 weeks away. Whether he decides to have a race in between, we'll have to wait and see. We can ask him a little bit later.
I think probably both mares will go there, but we will ask him a bit later. Well, let's just sit back and listen to Maddie Hill's call. How good was she yesterday? Winks in the Turnbull Stakes.
A length Ventura, Storm Weeks, Bowman hasn't flinched, he's doing it easily. And then came Humidor, Magical and Skyfire across the track at the 300. Winks has ambled up on the outside. Racing Royalty goes to the lead. Racing's Wonder of the World puts up two lengths, three lengths. Ventura, Storm followed by a sign, but it's all Winks. Five or six lengths in front. Look at her go with 100 metres to go. 21 today on the biggest dance floor of them all. Winks by eight lengths. Ventura Storm second, Humidor third, fourth aside.
Just wow. You spoke earlier of the quality of the horses, but wow.
Yeah. The King could never win at Flemington, you know that? Never won a race at Flemington.
Yeah, I think you read that. Yeah. Did you write that on Friday?
Did. Yeah. He'd won second in a derby in a Melbourne Cup, amongst others, but couldn't win at Flemington. That was her first start at Flemington.
Yeah.
Oh, extraordinary.
When did you say that the horse of the year went to the horse?
That's tonight.
Tonight. And like her chances in that race?
I think she's a better chance there than she was yesterday. You know, she'll go back-to-back in horse of the year tonight.
Yeah, which Kingston Town never did either.
Never, only won one horse of the year, and that was as a three-year-old.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and he won his Cox Plates as a four, five, and a six-year-old.
Right.
And never won horse of the year, which, looking back now, I just shake my head.
Can we ask who beat him?
I can tell you a horse like Hyperno and that, but it was just, you think back now and you shake your head as to why he didn't win. But she'll win that tonight. And how far will she win the Cox Plate? I mean, what price is she now?
She's $1.25, and it's becoming a little bit embarrassing now. So Bonneville, $15.
Bonneville's likely to go to the Caulfield Cup.
Happy Clapper, Hartnell, $18. Humidor was racing yesterday, $26.
Well, look at that market. Bonneville's likely to go to Caulfield Cup. Ginger Nuts, his prep's up in the air. Happy Clapper's not a certainty. Hartnell, more likely Caulfield Cup than Cox Plate. Egg Tart's missed a run, so you think she's in trouble for a Cox Plate.
Al Mandan's there at $31, but
he may run as a Melbourne Cup. Egg Tart's probably going to go a different prep. Humidor's going to the Caulfield Cup. So what's there to take her on, Jim?
Yeah, no, she'll be $1.15.
Remarkable. We mentioned Al Mandan. Look, he has been the Melbourne Cup favourite. Yesterday he ran in the Bart Cummings, a race he won last year en route to his Melbourne Cup win. Things didn't quite go to plan yesterday.
Mandan now presents to the outside and is running on, and further back is Harlem trying to go with El Mandan into the straight at the 350. Grand Duke of Tuscany given a slap with the Persuader, joined and headed by Tally. Amelie Starr is chiming in. El Mandan and Harlem on the outside have a race on their hands, approaching the 200. Amelie Starr goes to the lead, followed by El Mandan, Harlem, Tally, Grand Duke of Tuscany, Kelstorm the outside, but Amelie Starr, 100 metres to go, is seeing it out strongly, and Amelie Starr is going to win it easily. Amelie Starr, Grand Duke of Tuscany, a massive run second. Kelstorm third, Al Mandan only fourth.
Only fourth. Still $7 favourite, Al Mandan, for the Melbourne Cup. Admire Deuce, $13, along with Amelie Starr and Ventura Storm. Then we've got Bonneville, Francis of Assisi. There's Francis of Assisi, $17.
He's creeping up, isn't he?
Was it $6, Al Mandan? Just eased a fraction.
What price inference, Jim?
Oh, here we go. You got another one for the listeners, have you?
See his run last Sunday in the Underwood.
Inference, $34. Mm. Foundry, $34.
Massive run last Sunday in the Underwood inference.
Okay, this is a little sneaky one there for you. Fantastic. Well done, Roman. That's our race replays. Appreciate that. 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's go to callers there. Sean is on the line. G'day, Sean.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, morning, really Sean. Well, mate.
Mate, you mentioned earlier about short price favourites in the Cox Plate.
Mm. Yes.
Fun up in 31 started 14-1 on.
Gee, there you go. Thanks, Sean.
What was he? 14-1 on.
14-1 on. And the year before, he was 10-1 on.
Yeah, but back then the Cox Plate was sort of a secondary race to Moonee Valley Cup in the old days. So,
yep.
It wasn't the big race that it has become over the years, but still, there's Winks at $1.25 at the moment, Sean. And as Jimmy said earlier, she's almost certain to start shorter because a lot of those horses that are immediately behind her in the Cox Plate market are unlikely to be there on Cox Plate Day.
Correct. Yeah. Kingston Town, in his second Cox Plate, started 6-4 on favourite.
Is that the only time he was in the red, was it, Sean?
Yeah, yeah. 80 was 6-4 and 82 was 7-4.
That's right.
And he won Horse of the Year.
Yeah, as a three-year-old.
As a three-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, but he never won it in his Cox Plate years, which...
Not on the Cox Plate years, no, that's
looking
right.
Back, I find that extraordinary, but anyway.
Well, I don't know, because the horse that beat around that year, I think it was Hyperno, Rose Kingston, that era too, so he was like... Thank you.
Your second
name, I've got no idea.
Yeah, you wonder, don't
looking
you?
Back, but
good on you, Sean.
Thanks for that, Sean.
Thanks
that
for that.
Terrific.
Yeah. Little history lesson there. That was good.
On.
14 to 1 on.
Wow.
What's that equate to? What's that? $1.07
$7 or $6 or $7
Like that, yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's short. 13:53:53 the open line number. Hello, Jimmy.
Yeah, mate. How you doing?
Really well.
Morning, Jimmy.
Oh, mate. Yesterday that mare, Fair Income Rate. Yeah. Who's going to take her on? She's only going to have three or four horses against her.
I reckon they'll get a full feel, but what those horses are against
her,
I don't know.
When you need her.
You know, our only take on. She used to take on Kingston Town, didn't
she? Yeah, she used to run around. I just pick up the money. But the thing is, I was saying to Tanya, you've got to be careful if you've got a good horse and you're going against her because she's breaking so many horses.
Really,
I don't think
really good point. Yeah.
I don't think Hartnell, Backhart Bart have been the same since the Cox Plate last year.
Yeah, well, the Caulfield Stakes, yeah.
Yeah, she's broken so many horses, good horses. You'd be too scared to take her on in case she does it to you and then you don't have a horse left later on.
It's a really good point, Jimmy, but at least the Cox Plate is, you would think, the grand final for most of those horses come the spring, so you hope that they turn up. But you're right, she tends to break horses' hearts, doesn't she?
She's actually turned the Cox Plate into a formality. How many horses have ever done that?
No.
Very, very good point,
Well,
Jimmy.
We're just hearing there, Kingston Town.
Yeah, good call from Jimmy.
No worries, boys.
Good on you, Jimmy.
Jimmy in the running?
Jimmy's
in the running, yeah.
Yeah, for what?
Everest tickets?
Everest tickets. You want to give the Everest tickets away for the best caller?
Well, I know you wanted to make
it
hard for
quiz.
People, but
yeah.
It's a good call. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to come on this program and shine at different stages, so maybe that's how hard do you want to make it?
What are you saying?
No, I'm just saying. So, Jimmy, all right, Jimmy's. I'm going to put a little asterisk next to his name. Actually, I'll put an asterisk next to Sean's name, too. He was good.
Yeah, Sean, good call from Sean, yeah.
So,
both
there we go.
Calls, yeah.
So, come. Yeah, we want to know what you do in your on your Sundays between footy and cricket season, so you can let us know. And you're a chance to win two tickets to the Everest, courtesy of the ATC. Mm-hmm. And as you heard from Ray earlier, around about 30,000 people anticipated that day. Jimmy, there's college football on all day on ESPN1 and ESPN2. Regards, Tom. Thanks for that, Tom. And then we get this from Berger at Culburra Beach. Morning, boys. I just saw the footage of Ben Stokes in that so-called altercation. I've got to say, I'm glad he has been stood down. He has disgraced himself and the English cricket team. He's nothing but a thug, deserves all he gets.
Yeah, very, very good point, Berger.
As I said, if you haven't seen the vision, you don't know exactly what happened, well, I tell you what, it's damning.
Very hard to come back from that. This is from the lovely Michelle at Dubbo. No footy, no problem. The dog, Dot, is happy he gets two walks instead of one. P.S. Could it possibly rain today? Looking very promising. Well, I know we all need the rain.
Absolutely.
It'll make Bathurst very interesting in the afternoon, but let's hope we do get some rain somewhere.
Absolutely. Keep those recommendations coming in. 13:53:53. It's 23 minutes to 8.
Build-up to the inaugural Everest has been unprecedented, and Sky Sports Radio brings you every spine-tingling moment. Every day, we give you the latest for the $10 million race October 14th.
I can absolutely confirm that Clearly Innocent is now in the Tab Everest. It's a $15 chance as we speak right now.
And every morning, Racing HQ talks to the Everest trainers, jockeys and owners.
For everything on the Everest, stay with Sky Sports Radio.
If you love a bet this spring racing carnival, then we bet you'll love Tab's great offers on all Group 1 and Group 2 races. Now that's better value. Tab, we love a bet. T's and C's apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
The Tab Everest, the world's richest race on turf. $10 million. Royal Randwick, October 14. The Tab Everest. Will you be watching?
Join the Dynamic Syndications Gay and Adrian team in the first by champion Done Deal. 10 wins, 6 Group 1s and over $5.3 million. From Fund Zero, half-sister to the dam of champion 2-year-old Moss Fun.
He was a standout at the Magic Millions. What a great racehorse Done Deal was, and what a cracking family this filly has. The Done Deal filly should be a Done Deal.
Visit DynamicSyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Looking at Lee, wanders off the rail, now with 3 lengths to make up and a 16th to go. But Always Dreaming is digging down, and Always Dreaming is holding on. Looking at Lee, can't catch Always Dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
You're listening.
listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray, and a terrific day's racing, as you mentioned earlier, at Randwick yesterday. And probably one of the more popular results, Jim, was definitely the Angst Stakes, where Dixie Blossoms and Daisy Doom, two of the more genuine racehorses you'll find, went 1-2 again for trainer Ron Quinton. This time it was Dixie's turn, and Ron's been good enough to join us. Ron, good morning, and gee, you'd go a long way to find two more genuine mares than Dixie and Daisy, Ronnie.
Yeah, sure, eh? Their record speaks for itself, and you know, they've hardly been out of the first four their whole career.
Yeah, exactly.
Any chance of keeping them apart from each other, Ron?
Impossible.
Not really, because you know, the fillies and mares races are very very thin, so you know, it's almost impossible to separate them, you know.
Where to next, Ronnie, for both mares now?
Well, very likely we'd be having a look at the Mire in Melbourne, and that's 4 weeks away.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a gap. Last year it was only 3 weeks, but and Dixie ran in it last year and run fourth and only got beat 3/4 of a length. So yeah, I'd love it to be 3 weeks again, but because I could go straight into it without another run, but I'll very likely have to have a look and see what we do, whether we just maybe give them a barrier trial or,
right,
or you know, ideally probably I could give them another run. I'm not keen to go to Melbourne for the Tristark in a fortnight, really. Caulfield, you know, it's always been a bit of a bogey for Sydney horses, particularly at that 1400.
Yep.
And I certainly wouldn't want to go to Moonee Valley, really, with them either. So yeah, got to put my thinking cap on and just see what I do.
Hey, Ron, big week for you, obviously, with the decision being handed down on Thursday. I'd imagine it's an enormous relief for you, but it must also be concerning, and, you know, what to believe anymore, especially when you get these feeds that had that elevated levels of cobalt, but certainly didn't have any warnings around that.
Not at all. You know, when it's advertised on the bag,
a feed
that a certain amount should be in it, and you know, the levels that come back was just enormous, you know. So, you know, they're registered feed companies. You're feeding it in good faith. You're not to know that this could occur. It's not as though we have a laboratory in our feed room.
No.
You know, it's just a... you know, it was a bad situation, and the... The first few weeks of this was actually absolutely doing my head in, because we couldn't work out what happened and where it was coming from. We didn't have a clue. We knew that we didn't do anything wrong. And the last thing we would be expecting it to come from a feed. But once the testing started to come back, well, I was able to breathe a little bit better, because... you know, it started to all take shape then, you know.
I was going to ask you, Ron, obviously the stress you're under would have been enormous, but once those testing procedures started to show that there was a trail of where this elevated levels of cobalt was coming from, was that a relief for you, Ron, or were you still worried about the process, given what has happened over the last couple of years to trainers, particularly interstate?
No, look, I was very confident that when these tests come back and they were very, very elevated, I felt a lot more comfortable, because there was the reason why, you know. So so I was a lot more comfortable then.
Hey, we've got a listener that's come up with a suggestion here, Eagle-Eyed Phil from Dubbo. Ron, any chance Daisy Doom could back up in the Toorak Handicap? On-pace runner at Caulfield with lightweight could be advantaged.
Well, really, races that they don't appear to be that much stronger, really, than some of these good mare races. Mm. So, you know, it you never just quite know. But Caulfield worries me a little bit. You know, Dixie has had a run down there, so at Flemington, so she could be a possibility. But anyway, we'll get our thinking cap on and see what we do.
Well, Ronnie, it's a great position to be in. Yeah. Both mares who are racing so well at the moment and have done for an extended period, and that's a lot to do with your management and placement of them. And thanks for joining us this morning, Ron, and best of luck with both mares in Melbourne this spring.
Thanks very much, Ray. Jim,
thanks,
a
Ronnie.
Pleasure.
Thanks, mate.
Good on you, Ron. Ron Quinton there. He's got the Quinella again in the Anx Stakes. Gee, they've been good. Daisy Doom and Dixie Blossoms, two very honest mares. Andrew, via Twitter, if you want to send a tweet, Ray, you do it at Big Sports WEND. What to watch on a Sunday? Bathurst, without doubt, the best live TV. 6 hours of coverage of any motorsport event in the world. It is good. They do a really good job presentation of it. Such drama there last year, remember.
And if the rain does come, as you said, Jimmy, carnage.
Could be cornage. 1353 53, the open line number. Brian is there, wants to have his say. G'day, Brian.
G'day, Ray. How you going, mate?
Good morning, Brian.
Ray, Amelia Starr, order of entry into the Caulfield Cup. I don't think she's qualified. Do you know what number she'd be?
I'll check for you. That win yesterday definitely gets her into the Melbourne Cup. I don't think it gets her into the Caulfield Cup, but I will check during an ad break, Brian, and we'll let you know on air for sure, mate.
Righto. And a winner for you in Canamble today, race 4, number 1, Crooked Blaze. Get on, mate.
Crooked Blaze, yeah. He beat the great Cosmopol once, Crooked Blaze. Canterbury. I've never forgotten that.
They knock up beating Cosmopol, don't they?
They do, yeah. He's a good chance today at Canamble.
Yeah,
great meeting today up there, Brian.
Yeah, it is. As long as the track's dry, he doesn't like the soft track.
Fair enough. I think it's pretty dry out there, isn't it, mate?
No, I think so, mate. Yeah.
Good on you,
well,
Brian.
Thanks for that, Ray.
We'll find out about Amelia Starr for sure, mate.
I'll be listening, mate.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Brian.
The track at Coonamble today is a good 4. It's a good 4
nice
from all reports. So there you go. But there's a tip from Brian, race 4, number 1. We'll look forward to you releasing your tips very shortly, back end of this hour. We're going to take another break. We'll be back with more.
Sky Sports Radio looks after every important part of your punting day. The race calls, the interviews before and after every race, the form analysts, and the Tab Market Movers, continuing to steer you into winners.
Tab Market Mover at Gawler, Red Dazzle, Raquel Clark, Peter Moody, number 5, 550 into 420.
So Abelow can't get it, Red Dazzle. They put a stack on this and it won easily.
The National Racing Service, every day from midday on Sky Sports Radio.
And they're off. Fascinating Fascinator leads the charge. Clarule Champagne in hand is close behind to the marquee. No, it's the terrace. Now the dance floor. It's Stride for Stride on the trackside lawn to the stables. The crowd roar. Oh, no finish.
Expect unexpected at the Tab Everest this Saturday at Royal Randwick. Featuring the world's richest turf race worth an astonishing $10 million. Don't miss out on Australia's biggest racing event. Tickets selling fast. Pre-book now at theraces.com.au.
Get racing sooner with a graduate of the Magic Millions 2-year-olds in training sale. October 10 and 11 on the Gold Coast. The number one breeze up style auction in Australasia for winners each year. The Gold Coast 2-year-olds in training sale gives buyers an edge, having seen the horse gallop prior to selling. Last year's sale has already produced 31 individual winners, including the Group 1 winning 2-year-old Capital Gain. To view the catalogue, photos, breeze up times and clips, visit magicmillions.com.au.
There are a couple in front of Moa, who's starting to close in strongly. Mighty Lucky, the inside goes well. Then Duke of Valentinwa on Supply and Demand. Fabrizio's trying to come back on Royal Tudor, but Duke of Valentinwa's letting down. God's in him up the fence, but Duke of Valentinwa's drawn clear in the cup from God's in him. Then Pajaro rattling home, but Duke of Valentinwa's got them beaten. Duke of Valentinwa won the cup.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yep. And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. And yesterday, as we mentioned, terrific effort by Ace High. Jim, when you see a three-year-old go to the front and try and dominate a staying race, it's not easy.
Now, this was a good race, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he's done it twice now in the gloaming.
Yep.
and in the Spring Champion Stakes. And I think his trainer, David Payne, believes that when Ace High gets a chance just to take some cover and settle just off the speed, he'll be even better. So let's find out. David's been good enough to join us. David, good morning. Firstly, congratulations on a terrific win yesterday. And is that right, Dave, when he gets a chance perhaps to settle in behind a leader, he could be even better?
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Yeah, no, definitely. You know, if you look at all these other races he's been running on, and it's just circumstances. Just looking at the opposition, we've had to make our own pace because we didn't want it to be a sit and sprint.
Yeah.
And I guess that leaves you a little bit vulnerable when you're racing a little bit differently, David.
Yeah, Jimmy, if you noticed, that horse was aggravating him for a while, you know. That didn't help him.
Yeah.
It was a tough one.
Very tough, wasn't it? And Sanction missed the start too, and Sanction was another horse that could have been up on the speed too. So all those things sort of conspired against you. But I think what you saw with Ace High yesterday is just the bravery of the horse and the courage of the horse, because really challenged by Tangle all the way up the straight and just hung on, Dave.
Yeah, and it looked like he was going to go past him at about 50, and it just seems to, you know, just dig. But I think he was running on empty, the poor bloke, the last 20 metres or so.
Which is entitled to, given he had to make the pace all the way. David, he's a horse that you purchased as a yearling at the Magic Millions last year, and I think from very early on you sensed that you had a very promising stay and a potential Derby horse in Ace High.
I remember talking to you about it when he was a real young horse, right? And doesn't always happen, but it looks like he might be the one.
And I thought it was interesting that you rated the horse higher than Criterion
as a stayer
in the newspaper today. Probably more brilliant Criterion, as you mentioned, but that's some praise.
Yeah, you know, with those horses like Criterion with their brilliance, that's what gets him the 2-4. But he wasn't really a 2-4 horse. You look at his, when he won the Derby, I mean, he just about fell over the line.
Yeah, he did, yeah. David, yesterday, after Ace High's win, tremendous scenes, and he's vaulted into equal favouritism now for the Victoria Derby. And I know you took a lot of satisfaction out of winning the Group 1 for a long-time stable client and John Cordini yesterday, but have you managed to convince him to keep going to the Victoria Derby? He was hedging his bets yesterday after the race, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, John showed me, I think he was a bit nervous yesterday. You know, and it was so nice to really, that gave me a lot of pleasure, you know, because he's so loyal, old John. You know, we've been through thick and thin, and he's always stuck with me. And, you know, you don't usually get that in racing.
You know, people back up and leave.
But, we'll let the dust settle. I would love to have a crack. If the horse is right, he'll tell us in the next couple of weeks. But I would like 4-5 to lead him. And let him be hitting the line. Anyway, we'll discuss that with John once everybody's settled down.
And just the 107th Group 1 win for you, Dave. this is old hat for you.
It's been a while. I forgot where the winning box was.
I know, it's fair. But I think a lot of people, because of your great career over in South Africa, I think a lot of people forget. You know, when I read it again this morning, I thought, wow, that's some sort of career and some sort of experience 12, that you have.
Plus 12 Group 1s as a jockey, too.
I've been very fortunate. You know, I was like Chris Holiday. We had a big screen. Good, you know, the best owners. So you get access to the best horses, you know. So that's a big help. when you've only got a few horses, it's a bit tough. You know, you've got to find the buggers.
Hey, Dave, here's a question without notice. If you had your opportunity, which horse would you like to be training for the Everest next week?
Whiskers. I would stick with that little the 3-year-old filly.
She Will Reign? Yeah.
You know, it was a very old. Well, that might have been flattering the last one because they went so fast. Either her or Vega Magic.
Vega Magic,
Yeah, those are the ones. But the grey horse would be the right horse, but you just don't know how fast they're going to go. If there's no speed, he's not going to make it up.
Though, isn't it, Dave? Gee, it's captured the imagination.
That's fantastic.
I just watch Ada run in it. Gee, what's good.
Next year, Dave.
Next year, Dave.
You never know.
Next year.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, congratulations with Ace High. I think everyone can be excited about this 3-year-old colt. The Derby beckons you would think. And as Ray mentioned, the $6 favourite, equal favourite now for the Derby. Congratulations on the win. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, David.
There he is, Dave Payne, the trainer of the Moet and Chandon Spring Champion Stakes winner, Ace High. She Will Rain, who would be his choice in the Everest, $4.60. Chautauqua, $6. Vega Magic, $6. Where's the pace going to come in the race, Ray?
Redzel, Deploy, it's pace galore.
Right, so there is a chance then for Chautauqua.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They will absolutely motor. And when you've got $10 million up for grabs, Jim, there's no... They won't be being around.
That's right. We're not going to leave anything in the tank, are we? Fair point. G'day, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning,
well, mate.
Very good. Ray, you're a racing man. Just a couple of questions.
Yes, mate.
Ronnie Quinton, very popular bloke, very successful trainer, very successful jockey. Just this with his Cobalt, don't you think that's opened up a can of worms?
What I think it does do, it was a common sense decision, and hopefully every case has to be investigate on its merits, and in this instance, Greg, there was absolutely no doubt that it was the feed that contaminated, if I can use that word, and had caused elevated levels of cobalt in the system. It had nothing to do with the trainer themselves.
Do we start losing faith in the system then?
Well, you do. So, but what can you do, Jim, if you've got a registered feed company who specifies the level of cobalt in that feed?
Yep.
You have to take... You're not a scientist. I'm not a scientist. You'd have to take that word and accept that word as being correct. It's like when you go and get your car fixed. If the mechanic says you need your engine replaced, you accept the word, don't you?
Yeah, it's a fair point, Greg. As Ray has pointed out, everything must be done on a case-by-case basis. G'day, John.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Just a couple of things that I do.
Yep.
Clean the pool, do the garden, spray the leaves away, all that sort of stuff. Work around the house.
We get plenty of practice of that over the summer, don't we, John? So.
Yeah, plenty of practice of that, mate. Just a couple of things out of yesterday. I had the pipe opener and went to the track yesterday in preparation for the Everest. One run.
Barry Troll, little Barry Troll
dice one. How'd you go, just out of interest, John?
Well, Jimmy, you know my wife, she did a lot better than I did on the punt yesterday, so she did well, but she paid for dinner, so that was good.
Beautiful, well done. Good day.
Yeah, so it was a good day, actually. Just wanted the Surf Plus plunge. Gee, that was a big money plunge there, right?
Yeah, Bjorn Baker's having a good trot at the moment, and when the money goes on with his horses, they generally land the prize. I guess he was going to assume control in front. I didn't think he'd go back-to-back. John, I don't know what you thought, but I didn't think he could win, but he was too good again.
Yeah, good work. Sorry, we've got to keep flying. But, yes, well done.
Cut the ball guy off, didn't you?
What's that?
You cut the ball guy off.
Well, here he is complaining about what's going on at the races, and he's from Coogee and he owns a pool. So things aren't all tough.
He said he had a great day.
No.
His wife won.
Yeah, his wife had a win, and she had to pay for dinner.
He's had a great day, hasn't he?
Actually, tick all around, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, time to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Morning, morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Hawkesbury and Coonamble. Starting with Hawkesbury, the weather is fine. The track a good 3. The rail is true. The penetrometer 4.78. And there are 13 scratchings. Races 1 and 2 are clear. Start with race 3. Take out number 2, Reference. 5, Circuit. 6, High Power, 7, Poetic Charmer, and 8, Resonate. 2, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Race 4, take out 5, Back to My Bay, number 5. Out of the 5th, number 8, Rain Event, and 11, Chantal, 8 and 11. Race 6, number 2, Wallangarra, and 10, Highway, 2 and 10. Out of race 7, number 4, Lady Veronique, and 7, Star Bright, 4 and 7. And race 8, number 8, Miss Delago Rose. 8 out of race 8 at Hawkesbury. Coonamble, the weather is overcast. The track a good 4, the rail true, and 16 scratchings. Race 1, take out 3, one more for Wilson. 13, Milady's Jam. 16, Ma Chow. And 18, Montiel Joe. 3, 13, 16 and 18. Race 2, number 3, Infomercial. 4, Scuba Steve. 10, Infinite Advantage, 14, Dragon Bells, and 15, Tallyman, 3, 4, 10, 14, and 15. Out of race 3, number 3, Il David, number 3. Race 4 is clear. Race 5, number 3, Axel Bling, and 8, Cordon Rouge, 3 and 8. Race 6, number 2, Double Halo, 10, Lady Loban, and 11, Cuban Lass, 2, 10 and 11. Race 7 is clear. And race 8, takeout number 8, Little Bitty, number 8 out of race 8 at Coonamble.
Thanks, Tan. Couple of tips today at Hawkesbury. Race yes. 1, number 1, grand finalist to kick us off on a winning note. Did that kick us off on a winning note? No, okay. Down to race 4, number 4, Rolston. Good chance today, Rolston, at good odds. Coonamble Cup Day. Now, we did mention...
$13 quote in the paper.
Yes, you'll run a good okay. race, Rolston.
Okay.
The Coonamble Cup Day, the first of the features, the Crystal Sprint. Remember that horse, Stony Rise, the back of Burke horse trainer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's resuming here. I think he's a terrific chance in the Crystal Sprint. Race 4, number 7, Stony Rise. He needs a firm track. Then down to...
So you're going against Brian.
I am, yeah, Crooked Blaze, yeah. Then down to race 7, the Coonamble Cup, and this horse is just in great form. Number 1, Present Sense. Got to carry the big weight, but geez, going good.
So there you go. We'll put those tips on our social media outlets as well. We've got a break coming up here. It's the news time, and then after the news, we'll check in with Zorb, what he thought of the grand final, what he thinks of the World Cup, and anything else in the game of rugby league.
Woman has died of an unknown medical condition while on her honeymoon in Fiji. Sydney woman Kelly Clark fell ill on Wednesday and was taken to hospital. She was mistakenly treated for typhoid, but the 24-year-old died on Friday night. The cause of her death is still unknown. Her husband, Chase Clark, told Fairfax Radio he's lost the love of his life.
Outspoken, smart, courageous, had the biggest heart. Me and Kelly have been through a lot, been there for me. She's been my star. I couldn't help her.
Relatives of an Aboriginal man who died in custody say they do not accept that he took his own life and believe they've been misled by Corrective Services New South Wales. 22-year-old Tane Chatfield was awaiting trial for armed robbery when he was found unresponsive at the Tamworth Correctional Centre in September and he died in hospital 2 days later. Corrective Services New South Wales says Chatfield took his own life. On the evening before he was found unconscious, Chatfield's cellmate was moved out of the cell they shared. The Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody recommended Aboriginal detainees not be placed alone in cells and when left alone should be under careful surveillance. A 33-year-old man has been arrested after allegedly kidnapping a woman and driving her across northern New South Wales. The man was arrested at a property at Red Range near Glen Innes last night after police conducted a day-long search for him and the 36-year-old victim. The woman from the Hunter region had managed to make it known she was being held against her will when withdrawing money in Glen Innes. The pair knew each other. The US government is lifting sanctions on Sudan after a 3-month review citing progress on counter-terrorism and humanitarian efforts inside the country. But Sudan's official listing as a state sponsor of terror remains in place. The BBC's James Copnell has more.
Sudan's top diplomat, Ibrahim Khandour, told the BBC that the removal of the sanctions would have an immediate effect on the lives of poor people.
The price of the dollar started dropping down again in the Sudanese pounds. Once the rumours of lifting the sanctions started.
Many human rights activists are appalled that the American sanctions are being removed, accusing the Sudanese government of continuing to carry out abuses, not least in the ongoing civil wars in the country. The US has kept one big piece of leverage intact. It did not take Sudan off the list of countries it says support terrorism.
The Victorian Seniors Festival kicks off today with around 1,500 events and activities set to take place across the state. Seniors card holders will also be able to take advantage of free public transport across Melbourne and regional Victoria. Minister for Ageing Martin Foley is encouraging everyone to get out and about and make the most of the opportunities throughout the week.
There are more than 1,500 events taking place across the state this October. From team sports and the arts to concerts and theatre performances, this year's celebrations for older Victorians is not to be missed.
Also in news, a London taxi driver has been arrested in what police are calling a traffic collision after his car ploughed into pedestrians near the Natural History Museum, injuring 11. And the last post ceremony at the Australian War Memorial will remember Terry Langlands, who was just 23 years old when he was killed in action during the Vietnam War. This is AIR News. The Perth Wildcats began their quest for a third successive NBL title with a 96-86 win over the Brisbane Bullets. It was a tough ask for the Bullets, who finished last season on the bottom of the ladder. For most of the contest, Travis Trice, Daniel Kickett and newcomer Perrin Buford reminded the West that the 2016-17 season was long gone. But with Bryce Cotton showing no sign of suffering from a championship hangover, there was enough in the Wildcats' performance to suggest they'll be right in the mix again. Former Mariners forward Roy O'Donovan starred against his old club, scoring a first-half hat-trick in Newcastle's 5-1 away win over the Mariners in the A-League. Jets coach Ernie Merrick says the Mariners deserve credit for their efforts.
I thought we didn't get going until 25 minutes into the game. I thought they controlled the midfield really well. We couldn't get our midfielders to work. We weren't getting the ball forward to Dimi Petratos. But when we bypassed them, Roy and Andrew were deadly.
To cricket, Queensland captain Usman Khawaja starred in his team's 11-run victory over Victoria in the domestic one-day cup. Khawaja scored 85 off 97 balls in the Bulls' 6 for 309 at North Sydney Oval. In reply, Victoria looked set for a massive defeat at 6 for 135 before a lower order fight back. Chris Tremaine and Peter Siddle combined for a 67-run 8th-wicket partnership to restore Victoria's hopes of a heist. However, Tremaine fell in the 44th and Victoria were bowled out for 298 in the final over, despite Siddle's best efforts. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz Grenache by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
School starts again next week. Don't get stuck in peak hour traffic. Use public transport or retime your journey. Visit mysydney.nsw.gov.au for your travel choices. In Beverly Hills, we've got an accident on King George's Road at Stony Creek Road. One southbound lane is closed. In Ashfield, lights are blacked out on Parramatta Road at Bland Street after an earlier accident. And it's the Royal National Park's 50th today. Extra traffic is expected on Princes Highway approaching the park and roads within the park. A bushfire can radiate heat so extreme it will shatter car windows and melt tyres. Do you have a bushfire plan? The RFS can help. Visit myfireplan.com.au now. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Ray's doing his slideshow from his trip away. Partly cloudy, 60% chance of showers, most likely during the afternoon. And here's us at Edinburgh Castle. An evening, light winds.
You're becoming... the schmuck.
I was just showing you a restaurant there in case you ever... You said you went to Edinburgh before.
I did.
Yeah. Nice place. Cold.
Saw the British Open.
I wore my shorts at a protest. It was a very bad move. Gee, it was cold over there.
Get those pins out in the Northern Hemisphere, right? Light winds becoming northerly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour in the early afternoon. A shower or two, a maximum of 23 degrees. So let's take us to Mount Druitt and Mount Kosciuszko.
Correct. Mount Druitt, currently 13 degrees, partly cloudy, heading for a top of 26 out west today at Mount Druitt.
Nice and warm.
We've never been to Mount Kosciuszko before, have we?
No.
Currently 5 degrees, heading for a top of just 9 degrees, potentially some rain at Mount Kosciuszko today.
And why have you gone Mount Kosciuszko?
Everest theme. And also, next year, there is talk of a country trained or country horses race called the Kosciuszko. On
like
Everest
it.
Day.
I like it.
Sky Sports Radio is all geared up to bring you Australia's richest race, the Everest. And Racing HQ's NewsHour is back Tuesday morning to capture every magic Everest moment. Just like trainer Gary Portelli on She Will Reign.
I'm more confident myself that, you know, we're a chance in this race and I think there's a huge chance of winning it now.
That result could hinge on the all-important Everest barrier draw.
Group 1 Racing, Group 1 Jockeys on Group 1 Horses. Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new fridges and washers ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge or washer free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new fridge or washer now from Bingley and you'll get free full service delivery.
You know when the beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon, so be quick. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
The incredible Johnny Mathis is back. A beautiful collection of songs from some of today's biggest artists. Johnny Mathis sings the great new American songbook. The music lives on.
You're listening
listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program, Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Ray and Jimmy, up until 10 o'clock. Peter Peters very shortly. Ty Anglin will have a chat to as well. Robbie Slater is our football man. Michael Carianis talking Rugby League World Cup. And also, we've got our Event Cinemas quiz. Just a score update on the Event Cinemas quiz, Ray.
Are we locked up 19-all, James?
Are we locked up 19-all? Of course we are.
Sneaky competitive.
As if you don't know what
I'm
the score is.
The races the day, say.
Writes it down.
Are you really sneaky competitive like Jimmy's? Nah, not at all. I said Jimmy's overtly competitive.
I have no doubt about that. However, people who think you're not competitive aren't listening. Just on that, we're talking today about what people do with no footy on. What do you do on a Sunday? No footy, no cricket. And we know Bathurst is on today, but there are a couple of Sundays there that you're just desperate to sit down and do something. And we get this. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Easy solution to the No Sports Arvo. I just listened to the top 100 podcasts of the Sunday morning quiz repeatedly until the household CEO can't take it anymore and drops me down at the local. Cheers, EJ. Thanks for that, EJ.
Here's one from the snob. Yeah. Hi, boys. I'm forced to go shopping and seeing a show at Enmore Theatre when there's no footy on today. Regards, a snob.
Seeing a show at Enmore Theatre? Well, you are a snob. There you come. This one. Hi, guy. Ray, I missed Almandon's run in Melbourne yesterday, but see, its prices blown out for the Caulfield Cup. Was it a bad run? Thanks, Rob at Seven Hills.
Pass, Mark. Carried 60. Does drop, what, 4 in the Melbourne Cup?
Mm.
Pass, Mark.
Pass, Mark. Mm. Okay. Well, that's not going to be music to the ears of our next guest because he's on Almandon, albeit at $15. Thanks very much for the man of league. Yeah. Got down to $6, now out to $7. So get Zorb's thoughts on that. And, of course, what's happening in the world of rugby league right now. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, boys. Disappointed in Almandon yesterday. I was dying to hear what Ray thought of it. And I'm past Mark. Well, he's a hard marker, so I'll cop that. But very disappointing. I expected a better run than that.
Don't give up, Zorb.
No, I'm
seen this often
up.
With Lloyd Williams stayers. They can produce an indifferent run at some stage of their prep, but come grand final day, so to speak, Zorb, they are right on the mark. Speaking of grand final,
yep.
I know you said 13-plus the Storm last week. You're 100% right, but that was clinical. That was just a brilliant football team doing what they do best, Zorb.
Yeah, well, when you look at, you know, their defence during the year was just outstanding. For the second year running, they had the stingiest defence in the comp. They conceded an average of 13.5 games per game throughout the season, and then they conceded just 22 points in 3 games in the finals. They're just an outstanding football side, well coached, with one of the greatest players in the world leading them. Probably is the greatest player, maybe one of the greatest players of all time. And I just hope that the NRL can take the initiative with some things. And I know I said it earlier on in the year, but he's going to be an immortal. Make him an immortal while he's still playing, and let the fans around Australia enjoy him and have a sense of history. He was the best on the ground in the grand final by a long, long way. I don't know what the Aussie selectors were doing. Billy Slater had a great game, but Cameron Smith was just simply outstanding. The runaway man of the match, should have got it. It was the year of Melbourne, the year of Craig Mellaby. What else can we say about them?
So, hang on, let's clarify. So, you want Jonathan Thurston named an immortal straight away, and you want Cameron Smith as well?
Yep. Both of them.
Okay.
Them both.
All right. Well, I do Thurston for next year and then Smith the year after because he'll still be playing in 2019, Cameron Smith.
He may be, but why not take the initiative and do something positive? I mean, they're going to both be immortals. Why do we have to wait until, you know, Thurston's beard grows grey and Cameron Smith starts putting on weight? Let's enjoy them while they're here and while at the peak of their game and showcase them. I mean, they're absolutely sensational players. They're going to be immortals. Celebrate them. I mean, they own the immortal tag now, the NRL.
That's right.
Do something with it.
Mate, you're preaching to the converted here. I totally agree with you, Zorb. I think that would be an outstanding piece of an initiative from the National Rugby League. And we go a step further. If we look at the success now of the Pacific Tests and what they've become, and by extension what we've seen from Jason Taumalolo and Andrew Fifita over the last week, that game, those games, the Pacific Test only came about because the league needed to fill a slot on Fox League of Saturday night games. That's the only reason they came about. And now look at what they've done to the code.
Well, what they've done to the code, they've turned it upside down in New Zealand. I do a segment regularly on Radio Sport in New Zealand, and wow, they are filthy. They're coming out now, and everybody is into Jason Taumalolo, Benji Marshall, Adam Blair, all into Taumalolo. At least Taumalolo told New Zealand before the side was announced, albeit just a few days. But there seems to be a real rebellion in New Zealand against David Kidwell for the dropping of those players for the cocaine issue in Canberra after the Canberra test earlier this year. And New Zealand aren't happy. I think the Taumalolo and Fifita cases are different. Although Taumalolo he came out at least. Fifita was picked in the Australian side and looked like he accepted that and then rang Mal Meninga and withdrew.
Yeah.
Maybe he did it because Taumalolo did it. I don't know, but they seem to be different. As far as I'm concerned, I am for players playing for their country of heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Taumalolo's parents are both Tongan, and I agree with that they should be playing for the Minnow Nations if they want to. I think it's great. I mean, I went away with Italy in the last World Cup, and I saw close up what it meant, and these folks were on 20 pounds a day over in England. So, the Australians, the New Zealanders and the Kiwis, or the English players will be well paid into the thousands for their games. These Minnow Nations will be lucky to get by with a feed and enough for a few drinks during the day, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
I'm all for them playing for their countries. I don't see the criticism. I'm looking forward to Fiji with Jared Hayne playing for them. I'm looking forward to Italy with James Tedesco and others playing there. I'm looking forward to Lebanon. Tonga versus New Zealand coming up in Hamilton.
Wow. Big
month. That will be a war. New Zealand will rock for that. It will be sensational. I'm looking forward to seeing how Wayne Bennett will go in charge of England. He's been ordinary so far. He's made no difference. I understand there's a groundswell against him forming in England. Just incidentally, Leeds Rhinos 24 beat Castleford 6. I know you would have reported that, but Danny Maguire and Rob Burrow going out in style for the Leeds Rhinos. Maguire, 2 second-half tries and man of the match.
Hey, Zorb, we spoke about the Kangaroo selection early with Jimmy, but what's your thoughts? Because it looks a terrific squad, a really good blend of experience and youth coming through.
Oh, I'm excited about that. I like the look of, Regal Campbell-Gillard. I think he's a sensational young forward. I think he will step up. Tom Trbojevic, he's the future. I think Mal Meninga and the selectors have done a good job in bringing some players in that we're going to see in the green and gold for a long time. And, they're going to learn so much from Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater and the other veterans in the Australian side.
Mm. Hey, back to Andrew Fifita. When it comes time to select the New South Wales side next year, do we look at Andrew Fifita differently?
I don't think we can, but I must admit, I think he's rocks or diamonds anyway.
Yes,
And for my mind, it'll depend on his form. If he's good enough when he's playing for the Sharks in the lead up to the State of Origin, we'll put him in. If he's not, well, don't. But I don't think they should wear a mark on them for what they've done. I mean, they're really not doing it. They're not playing for money.
No, that's right.
You can't criticise them for that. They're playing for their heritage, and that's a strong thing. I think that most of them should be applauded. How they did it could be questioned, and that's up to the individual. But I've got no qualms about that. I think the whinging that's going on now comes back to proper planning. I mean, what was Kidwell doing? Not talking to the likes of Taumalolo in the lead up. Surely a couple of phone calls a week to keep them involved. If he hasn't done that, then his job's on the line anyway. If he doesn't succeed in this World Cup, and I don't think he can, the society's got, well, it's say goodnight.
Well, the other thing is, you know, we read all about the crackdown on the, you know, with the Kiwis, with their behaviour, and they'll be told in no uncertain terms. What was happening in Canberra? Why were Kiwi players out at 5 o'clock?
You're absolutely right, Jimmy.
It wouldn't have happened at the Melbourne Storm.
No. And that's shutting the stable door after the horse has bolted.
Correct.
Absolutely. I mean, bring all this into place now. I mean, it's too late. I mean, Taumalolo's played 10 tests for New Zealand. He's only played 3 times for Tonga. It only comes around every now and then for them.
Yeah.
As I said, you know, and they're I mean, Adam Blair has really come out strongly today and blasted Taumalolo. Well, good luck, Adam Blair, with your cheap shots when you play Taumalolo in Hamilton, because you'll be hitting the brick wall, mate, and he won't care.
Yeah.
It'll be a cracker.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with it. Well, there's any number of games. Tonga Samoa. Like, you got to book yourself in for that one as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And those Minnow Nation games will attract crowds. I mean, we've got to remember now that we've got second, third generation Tongans, Samoans, Fijians living in the west of Sydney, in the outskirts of Brisbane and in Townsville. They will rock, and they love their rugby league.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then you've got PNG, the Kumuls, who, you know, love their game. They got whacked in Sydney last weekend, but they'll bounce back. I think it's exciting. I applaud Andrew Hill and the job he's done. I think he's done a fantastic job in the lead-up. I'm looking forward to it. There's so many questions and answers that we're looking for. And I heard you say before, what are we going to do in summer with a cricket? Pretty boring at the moment, the way we're going.
We're going to
see the league right up until the end of November.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And we can't let you go without saying, well done, Holden Cup side.
Yeah,
were they good? They played with a ton of courage. And, they never gave up. We knew Parramatta would be bigger than them and that they'd lead, but would they hit the brick wall? Well, they virtually did, didn't they?
Mm.
Well done, Zorg.
Very happy and great job.
Yeah, well done. Well done, Wayne Lampkin and all the team there with the Manly Holden Cup side.
Well, coming from last to first was a great effort in 12 months, and just like we won the last grand final at the cricket ground, we've won the last Holden Cup, so Manly keep adding to the history in their club.
Oh, here we go. We nearly got through, but anyway. Good on you, Zorb. We appreciate that.
Okay, boys.
Yeah,
thanks.
There he is, Peter Peters, with his thoughts on the game of rugby league. We'll take your thoughts on that. Anything Zorb had to say, 13:53:53. 21 minutes past 8 here on the Big Sports Breakfast. We'll take a break. Be back with more.
For the very best racing around New South Wales, stick with Sky Sports Radio. This Friday, we're off to Cessnog for Jungle Juice Cup Race Day. Get your Jungle Juice winners race morning at 10 with form analyst Gary Harley right here on Sky Sports Radio.
And they're off. Fascinator leads the charge. Clubwheel Champagne in hand is close behind to the marquee. No, it's the terrace. Now the dance floor. It's stride for stride on the trackside lawn to the stables. The crowd roars.
Expect unexpected at the Tab Everest this Saturday at Royal Randwick, featuring the world's richest turf race worth an astonishing $10 million. Don't miss out on Australia's biggest racing event. Tickets selling fast. Pre-book now at theraces.com.au.
Nova Employment's Transition Service assists school leavers with disability to develop the skills required to make a smooth transition into the workforce. Nova Transition has an unbeatable track record of success. Our skilled and experienced staff will take the time to ensure every trainee receives the best possible support. If your son or daughter is leaving or recently left school, has a disability and needs support to get a great job, please call 1300ABILITY or visit transition.com.au.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, there was a massive crowd out at Royal Randwick yesterday. When I first saw the number, I thought, what? Did they all think Winx was running there? Forgetting that,
they're
of course,
all cheering it, don't worry.
She was down at Flemington for the very first time, and no problems there. Their trainer is Chris Waller, and he's been good enough to join us on the line today. G'day, Chris.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Ray.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Congratulations, Chris. I think, you know, the race's this preparation have been, might be being a little harsh saying mixed, and she's been winning perhaps differently, but it seemed yesterday she was back to those the days when she just goes unchallenged. It must have been a joy to watch for you.
Yeah, it sure was. I think probably described the first few runs as mixed as good, because I think it's been legitimate reasons. She hasn't disappointed, that's the main thing. And yesterday was picture perfect. It was, what else do you say, poetry and motion. She just rolled along and had a nice even tempo and ambled up like we've seen her do many times and put them away pretty quickly. So it was great. She was certainly well received.
Yeah, no, it looked awesome watching it from Randwick, Chris. Chris, I often hear trainers talk about when they move horses interstate, a change in environment often switches them on. And one of the quotes from Huey after the race was she was sort of not quite in the zone on George Main Stakes Day, but she was in the zone yesterday. Was it potentially that change of environment, that switch to Melbourne has turned her on, Chris?
Still not admitting she wasn't going that
fast. Yeah, no, true, yeah, exactly.
Flemington's a lovely track to race at. Mm. It's got such a big open area. In her track work in the week leading up, she certainly said that she's been very relaxed, as my track rider has been, Cadden. Why? Because, again, it's a really big open space that they work on. And at Rose Hill at the moment, it's under construction. Mm. They're upgrading the facilities and putting in new training tracks, and it's quite congested because we're using a couple of small tracks.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to take a ticket and get onto the track. And horses don't really like standing around when they're about to do their work, and just adds a bit of tension, and they get on their toes. Mm. But down there, she's just been a lot more relaxed, simple as that. Maybe that helps. As far as the race was run, there was no tearaway leaders.
Mm.
Yes, it was a good, strong speed. And we were stepping up to 2,000 metres in comparison to 1,400 and a mile that she's been racing over. So she got into a nice rhythm. And she did some amazing sections in Sydney the last couple of runs. And she basically produced it again yesterday at the end of 2,000 metres and made some... Well, we made a couple of horses look pretty second rate, and they're not. They're good horses that she beat, a couple of them there, but she made them look second class.
Mm.
Yeah, that's interesting, Chris, because we had a caller a little bit earlier saying, I think it was Sean, wasn't it, who was saying that the impact that Winx has on rivals, in that probably Hartnell, Blackheart, Bart haven't been the same since they were soundly beaten. Can you see that as well, that just the impact that she can have and breaking horses' hearts?
Yeah, we've had a few ourselves, Jimmy.
Right.
We've had a number of horses racing, in fact. And she flattens them. It's as simple as that. I'm talking good group one horses.
Mm.
And not many people have asked the question, but I'm going back to last year. Good horses like Turmeric and Fresh Statement, they were both group one winners. As good as you get. They raced her in the George Ryder, and I've never said this, but they weren't the same since.
Yeah.
Even as close as this year, Fox played, she ran second to her first up. She didn't lie down for a week, but she wasn't the same horse. She was flat as a tack for at least 2 weeks.
Mm.
And you'll often see horses take her on and they don't go quite as good the next start. But
yeah.
Amazingly, she comes through her races, she eats up and holds her weight and ready for another challenge 2 weeks later.
Mm.
Maybe she puts a lot into her races herself, but she doesn't really show it. And maybe the 3 week gap between runs yesterday was a big help as well.
Mm.
Or 3 weeks now to go to the Cox Plate, Chris, and the countdown's well and truly on, and the betting has her into $1.25, which is extraordinary when you think about a Cox Plate. Between now and Cox Plate Day, Chris, is it pretty much keep her to a normal routine? Will you take her over to the Valley for a track gallop, or does she even need to go over there now before the race?
It's just keeping things simple, and Jimmy would appreciate this being part of the sporting team. You've got to
not lose sight of the big day, but you don't want to over-analyse it. And you see it in grand finals with sport more than any other, with footy, rugby or rugby league or AFL. It's not always the favourite that wins. It's normally the more experienced and the the level-headed team that wins, because it's a different type of build-up the last week. If you get too carried away, you can overtrain, overanalyze, but unless you win those shares, you've got the experience to be there. We don't have to change anything. We've just got to keep it simple. Mm. And she deserves to be that short price favourite as a result.
Mm. Chris, I'm going to ask you a question here. I'll give you a bit of thinking time if you want it too. Were you more confident yesterday or over the course of this weekend of A, Winx winning, B, having the winner of race two, the IGA Liquor Handicap yesterday at Royal Randwick where you had all three runners, or C, Winx being named Horse of the Year tonight up in Brisbane?
B or C, it's a fight to phone a friend. it's quite unbelievable. We don't go to the races saying, we've got Winx, we're going to win today. Never, ever thought that. I've often said they'll have to be good to beat us today, or it'll take a champion to beat us. Because you never know where that next champion's coming from. And even Humidor yesterday, he was starting to build a pretty good reputation. And then there's the unknowns of just luck and sport.
Sure.
So we never get too confident. And it's always pleasing to see her amble up like she did yesterday, because going back to the last three runs, we haven't had that same comfort. We thought the 400-metre mark, you might get beat today.
Yeah.
Whereas almost every other start, she gets to the 400 and says, how good she going, and you actually enjoy the last 200 metres of the race.
Well, we certainly did from Randwick. I know racing and sports fans around the country enjoyed it yesterday, Chris. She's amazing to watch when she's in full flight. And 3 weeks to go to the Cox Plate. Fingers crossed all goes well. And thanks for joining us on a Sunday morning, Chris.
No, thanks, boys. It's great to see you. Appreciate it the way you are. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Waller there. I think she'll win Horse of the Year. You think she's a chance there, Ray?
What can beat her? Jimmy, you can nominate something that could come out of left field.
No, it would be well and truly out of left field.
And deservedly so. She deserves it 100%.
Yeah. She's the brightest spot in Australian racing over the last 2 years, undoubtedly.
Best in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Better than Arrogate, better than Enable.
Yeah. And on turf, she's recognised in that way. Longines Turf Horse of the Year, isn't she?
I think over an extended period, she's proven herself the best in the world. And as I said, better than Arrogate and better than Enable, who won the Arc brilliantly last Sunday.
I'm not here to argue with you, Ray. 13, not on this one anyway, here to argue with you on other points. But yes, 13:53:50. Been quite nice to you today. People will be wondering what's going on.
People have been worried about it. They think you and I argue all the time and ad breaks and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
We
if only they knew the truth. Oh, I got a bloody slideshow of Ray's trip to Edinburgh. 13:53:53, the open line number. Back with more shortly.
Chinwag with Cozzy is back. Thursday mornings at 10:30, Sean Cosgrove returns for another season starring the larrikins and legends of racing. Hear their stories unfold.
Great characters, a whole lot of fun, and there's always surprises.
Chinwag with Cozzy on Sky Sports Radio.
If you love a bet this spring racing carnival, then we bet you'll love TAB's great offers on all Group 1 and Group 2 races. Now that's better value. TAB, we love a bet. T's and C's apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sydney Trucks and Machinery Centre is a tradie's dream. They're out near Narellan at Smeaton Grange. It's a trip worth taking. Their Iveco Daily range offers outstanding fuel economy, a class-leading turbo diesel engine, and bigger payloads, so you'll get your job done quicker. With all that, the Daily range really adds up to be a valuable business partner. And for a limited time, you'll receive an extra year's warranty absolutely free. For more Iveco deals, visit stmc.com.au.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Royce runs onto it. Foul. Advantage played. A wonderful advantage. Jamie McLaren. What a performance.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda. The BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Time now to talk some football. We do that with our expert on a Sunday morning. It's now Robbie Slater.
Joining the team.
Exit Phil Moss, enter Robbie Slater, one of Northern Spirit's finest. Hello, Robbie.
Oh, I don't feel like that. Exit Phil Moss into Robbie Slater. It sounds like I've done him in.
Didn't you? That's what we heard.
Yeah, I probably did, yeah. Well, you know.
It's a bloodless coup, Robbie.
Dog eat dog.
What does Ray Warren say? Step over the carcass. Step over the carcass.
Beautiful.
Let's talk about this game. Sydney FC against the Melbourne Victory. An own goal, so no Sydney FC player has scored just yet. But I tell you what, they talk about it as a rivalry. The last 5 Sydney FC have won, Robbie. You wonder where the rivalry is.
That's it. To be fair, Victory a bit underdone because, of course, they're all missing 3 major players, Taurisi, Milligan, and for the Socceroos, they'll play for the Socceroos on Tuesday, of course, against Syria in the big World Cup qualifier at ANZ, and Costa Barbarousis is away with New Zealand. So, a little bit underdone, but it was a tense game. It wasn't one of the greatest big blues, what they call these games. They're very intense. Yeah. Sydney were a bit flat, to be fair, and Victory were brave, but just didn't have that quality to get a goal or trouble, really, the Sydney defence. Another clean sheet for Sydney, kept 16 clean sheets last season, and they've started off with what is a big win.
Mm. Yeah, good morning, Robbie. Thanks for joining us, Robbie. I was going to ask you about the defensive aspects of Sydney FC, and I know it's only one game. We're only just starting the new season, but what did you make of Sydney FC? This is their title defence, and as you mentioned again, that defensive wall was there.
Well, Graham Arnold coached sides notoriously start off slow. Mm-hmm. The fitness trainer who's gained a massive reputation, who's travelled everywhere with Arnie since he was at the Mariners. Andrew Clark, he prepares the team for the season, which means that, you know, when they start, they're not at their peak because the idea is you get better as the season goes on. Mm. So that's the theory anyway. Mm. So they'll be delighted with a win over Melbourne Victory. But certainly defensively, 16 clean sheets, as I said, last season. And again, last night, that defensive wall with Wilkinson, they've got the Dutchman Bosch there. They were missing Michael Zule, the regular left back, and sort of struggled for a little while in that first 25 minutes with that adjustment. But once they did, I mean, Melbourne Victory, as I said, plenty of energy, plenty of enthusiasm, but never really looked like scoring. And this is one of the things of very good sides is that, you know, when they're not at their best, they still manage to win. And that's what they did. They ground out a result last night.
Mm. Jets 5, Mariners 1 after Mariners led 1-0. Why or how on earth did Roy O'Donovan leave the Mariners and get to the Jets?
I know. And look, you talk about rivalry, and that's a no-no. You don't go from the Mariners to the Jets or vice versa, but Roy O'Donovan did. And, obviously had a get-out clause to be able to get out of the Mariners.
Right.
And they made him pay. I mean, it's third fastest hat-trick in the A-League's history. But still a massive upset. I mean, the S3 Derby, Newcastle have had the wood over Central Coast for a couple of years now, but, they've obviously done a lot of work, Central Coast, because they pulled in a great crowd, over 12,000.
Yeah.
One of the biggest crowds for a long, long time. And to be smashed at home 5-1, because that is a smashing.
Yeah.
Very disappointing for the work that the backroom staff have put in. Mm.
a couple of games today, Robbie, but really interested in your thoughts on the Wanderers. What would that Popovich decision last Sunday to leave the club, what would it do to them ahead of their clash against Perth and also Wellington, Phoenix and Adelaide?
Yeah, Ray, it'll be interesting to see the effect. They'll be playing out at Spotless where, you know, they had a tough time last year.
Yeah.
Losing a coach, an all-encompassing coach who's there from day one, really helped build this club. What effect that'll have on the group, because a lot of players, well, all the players he signed, and particularly the new ones.
Yep.
And we had Alvaro Segura, the new Spanish player, on Fox Sports saying that, he signed because of the coach. The coach convinced him. He liked what he said and the culture he had. So it'll be interesting. And for me, they need to appoint someone very, very quickly, or their season could become derailed. But for today, it'll be interesting. I think Perth have picked up some pretty good players. They've got their own Spanish influence, of course. Castro's a wonderful player. And I've tipped a bit of an upset here, Perth against Western Sydney, just given the effect of the loss of the coach. They're pretty ordinary form at Spotless. It'll be interesting to find out. And for Wellington v Adelaide, Wellington missing three or four players for the same reason Victory are or were. Because of international duty with New Zealand. So that'll be a tough one. Adelaide had a terrific pre-season. They're in the semi-finals of the FFA Cup, of course, where they'll play the Wanderers. So I'm tipping Adelaide to win over in Wellington. So there you go. In the first round, I'm tipping three away win.
There you go. Well, let's hope it's not an away win on Tuesday night. Australia.
Exactly right, Jimmy. We don't want an away win on Tuesday night, for goodness sake.
Well, all right, what do we take out of the 1-1? I mean, that's been dissected a lot.
We take the result.
Yeah, yeah.
We take the result because, take the fact that we couldn't put Syria away, and that's no disrespect to them, but that's the truth. But on the face of it, you take the result, which is a good result. You scored an away goal.
What, was it a penalty, though, Robbie? Was it a penalty? The Lecky challenge?
I can see why it's given. Harsh. Enough. Is it a soft penalty? Yes. But is there contact? Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
So, for me, it was a bit of a hometown decision, but, that's what you get when you're playing away from home.
That's right. That's right. And we are presuming that they get the job done on Tuesday night, right?
Yeah, look, I think we will. The next one's going to be more difficult. We're going to know a little bit better. And what is it now? So a bit, just over 20 minutes from now, Costa Rica will kick off against Honduras.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. USA smashed Panama 4-0. USA look like they'll qualify. They've got Trinidad at the bottom and with only 3 points in that group. That's their last game on Wednesday morning, sorry. So we'll miss out on a double game against the USA. Honduras, they got Mexico, they got Costa Rica, as I said, in 20 minutes, away from home. That's tough. They got Mexico at home, already qualified. We'd rather have Panama, I think, than Honduras, but we're just going to have to wait and see. We'll know Wednesday morning, but first,
get through Tuesday night.
Get the job done Tuesday night.
All right, well, you can earn your spurs here with the listeners. If Adelaide United get up and Perth Glory get up, they'll be loving Robbie Slater. We love you too, mate. We appreciate your time this morning.
Mate, otherwise you could have Phil Moss back there.
Polite inquiries as to what Phil Moss is doing next Sunday.
Exactly. All right, see you, boys.
Good on you, mate. Robbie Slater from Fox Sports.
Impressive debut.
He was good. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if he gets those two up, Ray, highly impressive with the listeners, you would have thought. 1353-53, the open line number. Doug's on the line there. Hello, Dougie.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray.
Good morning, Doug.
Take my call.
Our pleasure.
I just want to talk about Andrew Lefida. Do you reckon you agree with Cooper Conkey should be back in the Australian team?
Well, that's a really interesting point, Doug. When you do that sort of thing, what he's done, and the manner in which he's done it, it becomes a line ball decision. If there's a line ball decision and you think, should I go with, for example, should I go with Clemmer or should I go with Fifita? Well, you've made the decision for the coach, haven't you?
That's exactly right, yeah. And I was going to think about watching the wrestling on DVD this afternoon. That's the old saying.
to fill up the Sunday afternoon.
You know what? We did that one Sunday afternoon, Doug, those DVDs you sent the boys.
Yeah.
I think even the boys knew that it wasn't fair dinkum.
Nah. Plus, you can get the Australian ones too on DVD now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll find out for you if I can.
If you can find out, that'd be great, Dougie. We appreciate that. Good on you, mate. Appreciate the call.
Big fan, aren't you, mate?
What are you like? 1353 53 is the AFL line number. We'll take a break and we will be back with more, right?
Sky Sports Radio presents the latest in greyhound racing every Monday morning. Going Greyhounds host Dave Carlson speaks with owners, trainers and club officials and spots the future winners. Monday mornings, 10:30, Sky Sports Radio.
Penrith Mazda Centre are the BT50 experts. Come and see the newly appointed Mazda Youth Centre at Penrith Mazda with over 50 youths on display. Let the specialists at Penrith Mazda Centre tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. Penrith Mazda Centre, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer, with more than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. So you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda Centre, family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer the opportunity to own and race the half-brother to champion three-year-old Whoby Got You. Our colt is by sensational sire Fastnet Rock from Temple of Peace, a stakes place winner of 3 races. Whoby Got You was a dual Group 1 winner of 10 races, including the Alumba Stakes, Caulfield Guineas, and won over $3.25 million. Join the Dynamic Gay and Adrian team to race the Fastnet Rock half to Whoby Got You. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Oh, look out! It's Walker. He's kicked into vacant space. The bounce is favourable for Greg Inglis to score on one leg.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Got a couple of people making their debuts. Mm. Although, it might have, last year we had...
He's coming back.
But yeah.
After an outstanding debut last year.
Yeah.
Or no, over the...
Over the Four Nations. Yeah. Four Nations, yeah. How quickly we forget, Ray. There we go.
Haven't forgotten him.
But Michael, a stable mate of yours, Michael Carrianis, from the Daily Telegraph, is going to be our correspondent during the course of the Rugby League World Cup. We thought there's so much been going on around this World Cup, even though we're still a couple of weeks away from games, that we'd get him on and get ourselves a bit of an update. G'day, Michael.
Good morning, guys. Good to speak to you again.
Yeah, great to have you on the program. We do appreciate it, mate. But I tell you what, interest in this World Cup, I know it was there previously, but it's going to go to a new level with all the defections and so forth. Are you getting a sense of that yourself?
Well, how good is it? We saw the World Cup. Andrew Fifita on the front page of the Telegraph a couple of days ago. Who would have thought? We're still a month, you know, a couple of weeks out from the tournament, and he'd be making front page news for... something that's not an atrocity, I guess. You know what I mean? It's been great. The interest level's high. Tickets have spiked for the Tongan games already.
Yeah.
Considering what's gone on the last couple of days, and I think it's great that a fourth nation has emerged as a genuine contender. These guys are the real deal.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah. Good morning, Michael. Great to have you back on board for the World Cup. We spoke to Zorb earlier, and I put the same question to Zorb. The Kangaroo squad, a real mixture of experience, but there's some exciting young talent coming through the ranks, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a really, really strong squad, and I know some new players. You know, Tom Trbojevic gets a chance to learn against Billy from Billy Slater, which is going to be invaluable for him. Imagine spending 6 weeks with Billy and being at such a young age. Tom, it's going to be great. And, you know, Dane Gagai was so impressive in Origin, and his game went to another level at the back end of the year despite Newcastle's performances. And Cameron Munster, Jordan McLean, there's a lot of form players, and that's what they've gone on. There's a lot of players who finished the year very strong for their club sides, and they're going to be very, very hard to beat, the Kangaroos.
Jason Taumalolo has said no to the Kiwis, and I think, you know, he's been lambasted by a number of either ex-Kiwi players or current Kiwi players, which is interesting of itself. But what are you hearing around David Kidwell, his decision to continue the bans on Kevin Proctor and Jesse Bromwich, and the impact that's having within the squad?
Well, I don't think it was a very happy Four Nations touring party last year.
Okay.
So what stemmed from that, and we saw the performances were horrible. They drew with Scotland, like they almost lost to Scotland, believe it or not, right? So we spoke about that last year, and from there, there's a lot of changes. They brought in Shane Richards and they brought in Brian Smith to try and become less shambolic. But the last year was so bad as well because Kidwell only got the job a couple of weeks. Remember, Stephen Kearney went off to the Warriors, so he had no time to plan. He had no time to get his own stuff there. So, and then they performed the way they did in Canberra earlier this year, which was terrible. And if we go back to that game, Tomalolo was used sparingly in that test match, especially when the game was on the line. So I don't know if there's more issues stemming from that. Because don't forget, Kenny Bromwich is playing. So if there was that much of an outcry, you think it'd be coming from Kenny if anyone's going to be really filthy on his brother not playing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Michael, given the situation in New Zealand at the moment, who's Australia's biggest threats in the World Cup?
Themselves.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, they're cup to lose, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. I think I think England as well. England will have a bit of an exit. They're going to have their squad gets announced later today, and it's going to have a lot of NRL experience in that squad and in key positions now, which is big for them. And obviously Tonga, you know, if they can get some traction from their halves, which is probably their weak point. They're going to really, really challenge the so-called big three.
Well, I think the really interesting one there for Tonga is Jerome Luai, who is a really good talent. And if he can in that half position, I mean, it's a big ask coming out of, not much NRL footy and then ask him to do that. But I think that's where the...
And Thomas Luai is there. He's played a lot of international footy and a lot of experience in the NRL and in England as well. So he'll be a helping hand there. So they do have options, but... If you had to pick apart their side, that's where they struggle.
Yeah. Just looking at the Sunday Telegraph, the newspaper here, the who's
here,
who
here
of footy.
Here it comes, Michael. Here it comes.
Meet League's 50 Most Influential. It's penned by you, Michael.
We missed out, Jimmy. What's
well,
that about?
Well, no, happy. I'm really interested here. You've got your boss, Phil Rothfield, the sports editor at large of the Daily Telegraph at number 7.
There's a few bosses in that list.
And then you've got Phil Gould at number 8. So I'm just interested in... how you've been able to put this together and how you've come up with the list, Michael?
It wasn't just me that was doing the list. It took a lot of to and fro amongst some of my colleagues in the office. Buzz was not one of those that was having an input into the list.
Apparently Buzz had himself at 3.
Yeah, Jimmy's not happy and Buzz isn't happy, Michael.
You should have seen him in the office yesterday. No. So it was, we can't forget, it's about influential people who we're predicting to be influential in 2018. So that's why someone like John Grant's not on the list and Peter Beattie, who we anticipate will be the incoming commissioners on the list. And we try to take, there's a lot of names on there that people won't recognise, which is part of it as well, because there's these players that really make the product it is and have a great influence on the game. So look, it's an opinion, it's a talker. There's already been plenty of grief on Twitter. I'm hoping there'll be plenty more. And a few text messages flying late last night from some officials involved in the game, shall we say. What about you, Jimmy? Well, I think I'd struggle to make the top 5,000.
No, exactly. It reminds me when they had the Rugby League Hall, the Team of the Century. Remember they had that? And Sean Garlick sent a text around saying, good luck everyone being named in the Team of the Century. And I thought about it at the time. I wouldn't be named in a Smith Team of the Century. So you'd go all right with the Carianas Team of the Century, I reckon.
Yeah, I've got my family covered.
fantastic. Hey, Michael, great to have a chat today, and we do appreciate it. And we'll look forward to chatting throughout the course of the World Cup.
Perfect, guys. I'll speak to you soon.
See you, mate.
There he is, Michael Carianas. He's going to be our World Cup correspondent. Call now if you'd like to be part of the quiz. It's the Event Cinemas quiz. The Event Cinemas quiz, not the Z&Z quiz. It's the Event Cinemas quiz. There's been a name change, right?
Name change.
Still a Group 1, though, so which we can report on. But call now, 1353 53, for your chance to win Event Cinemas tickets. Now, the Event Cinemas tickets are not the Gold Pass this week. We're going to start with the standard Event Cinemas Pass. What are you
still outstanding?
Oh, it's a great price. Absolutely. But what we're doing, we're going to start with the regular tickets and then progress from there. But Event Cinemas quiz.
Score check.
By the way, just on producer Jeremy, it's now called the Event Cinemas quiz. So if you could just change the title on the sheet, that'd be fantastic. 1353 53. Score check. 1919.
This is two cartons, isn't it? We're playing for here.
We've doubled up this year. Yeah, it's double. So 1919.
I'm easy to pick. Crownies,
right.
Your beer of choice tends to change.
Yeah, it does. It does, Lux depending on my mood.
Yeah. What are you drinking at the
and
moment?
The season.
What are you drinking at the moment?
Pure Blonde. There you go. Did you get a tick for the pure blind or a tick for the gag? And anyway.
It's a Jeremy.
1353 53, the open line number. So you're player one, right?
Do you want me to open the batting?
Yeah, you open the batting.
Okay. Well, I've got Tony. Tony, good morning.
G'day, how you going?
Yeah, terrific, mate. You know the drill, Tony. Best of luck. Here's question number one. Which of these players ran for the most metres in the NRL Grand Final? Was it Billy Slater, Will Chambers or Dale Finucane?
Well, go for the obvious. Billy Slater.
You have to go Billy at the fullback. Unfortunately, you got it wrong, Tony. Bad luck.
Here we go, Tony. We'll get this wrong. Which of these players made the most tackles in the GF last week? Was it Jordan McLean, Tohu Harris or Cameron Munster?
Tohu Harris.
Yep, spot on, mate.
What a game he had.
Yeah, he played well. And you'll get this one for sure, Tony. This is a snack. In which month of 2018 will the African Amateur Wrestling Championships be held? Just get that right. The African Amateur Wrestling Championships. Tony, is it February, March or April?
We'll go March.
It's February.
Yeah.
They're always held in February.
I mean, it's...
One's okay, Tony. Stay on the line there, mate. We're still in the game.
Good on you, Tony. Stay there. G'day, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Really well, mate. Really well. Let's go. Player two. You need two to win. Which of these players made the most runs in the NRL Grand Final? Antonio Winterstein, Justin O'Neill, or Kyle Felt?
I'll go the first one, Winterstein.
It was Kyle Felt who did it.
He had a good game too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Which of playing busted, like half his teammates. Which of these players, Rob, missed most tackles in the NRL Grand Final? Michael Morgan, Ethan Lowe, or Lachlan Coote?
I'll say Morgan.
Pressure's on
here. That's all right. Ethan Lowe. Okay, Rob, here we go. This is a big one. In which month of 2018 will the World University Shooting Championships be held? Clearly a must-see television event, obviously, isn't it? Is it March, April or May?
April, Jimmy.
I'll tell you what, Rob, the amount of confidence that you said that with.
He had to have a go.
It's actually March. So, unfortunately, you miss out there, Rob. So, Tony, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
Well done, Tony.
I was going to say, who's your team of choice, but I better ask, what's your event cinema of choice?
I'd say Parramatta.
Okay, outstanding. Prakash
and the team. I tell you what.
Popcorn and everything.
If there's one bit of advice we can give you, Tony, be very careful of that popcorn. Okay.
No worries, mate.
Fantastic.
Terrific, Tony.
Good
Stay
on your
time, mate. Congratulations.
Yeah. We'll be sending those out to you. 1353 53 is the open line number. We've got Manly Man Al, who
I tell you what, we are
privileged. We get a lot of SMS from Manly Man Al. I don't think we've
had a phone call.
Yeah. Hello, Manly Man Al.
Oh, I had to man up, didn't I?
That's right. Not like Tal Malolo.
Did you get there last week, Manly Man Al?
I sure did.
Terrific.
We got there in time to see Manly win the Holden Cup.
Yeah, how about that? That was a good game, wasn't it, against Parramatta?
It was. Yeah. It was fantastic, fellas. I want to thank you and your sponsors. You do a great job, put on a great show, but that was, for me, we're battlers, and to go and see a grand final was excellent.
Well, I think you mentioned last week that in 30 years you haven't done it, so will you go back next year after you've experienced one?
I will. We'll start saving up now. And the other thing I'd like to add was my missus, womanly Al, she's one of them. The birds don't like to go to the footy and that because of the crowd sometimes.
Yeah.
But everyone there, the staff, everyone was fantastic. And we had a great day.
That's great news. So that's good to hear, mate. So
it is.
Fantastic.
Really appreciate it. And here's a send out to Shane. If he was up in the stands with me, he would have seen Melbourne was offside about 60% of the game.
Well, actually, it's funny you mention that, Manly Man Al, because on Twitter we've had Michael get in contact with the program, and we appreciate your call, mate. Glad you had a great time last week. Hey, Jimmy, why is the NRL Grand Final allowed to flow in terms of penalties? Should happen in every other game too.
Very good point.
No, but you've got to be careful here.
But
if they're standing offside, penalise them. Just because you've got a low penalty count or just because you've got an even penalty count doesn't mean the referee's done a good job.
That's Michael's point, 100%.
Yeah. Now, he's saying it should happen in every other game too. He's saying, oh, no penalties. But if
because
people
a game
are
flowed.
Game flows. What's defining a flow? Because if they're standing offside all the time. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm.
You know, they're offside, penalise them. You go to some games, and I tell you, it's frustrating. You go to some games, and they'll be back 10 metres, and the referee's back 12 metres, and then the referee will step forward at the last minute to make them say, oh, you're all onside.
You were there last Sunday. Did you get that impression that they were offside 6% of the time?
Yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah. Mm. And you don't blame anyone else other than the referee.
What about the Cowboys?
Ping them twice, both sides.
Yep, there you go.
Ping them twice. And you'll get him back on side. Appreciate that. Now let's go to Ron. Hello, Ron.
Morning, Ray.
Morning, Ron.
How are you?
Terrific.
Really well, mate.
Good on you. Sunday afternoons.
Yes.
I watched the races at Sha Tin.
Okay.
And I'm at Backsack.
Backsack,
yeah. He rode half the card last week, Zach, so that was all right. And, Ray, why don't you put a sweep for the Everest in the telly this week?
We will do that. We absolutely are.
Are you really?
Yes.
You got a plan?
Yeah, probably Thursday, I think it is.
Okay.
We've got a plan for you.
Good one.
So
yeah, and put the logo of the Everest on the top.
We'll be doing that for sure, mate.
And just on Winks yesterday, I tell you what, that Flemington Straight, it's beautiful to watch a horse, you know. Mm. Yeah. I mean, those fantastic finishes in Sydney when, you know, Winks had to do all the chasing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was exciting, but just to see that horse stretch out there on that magnificent straight.
I tell you what, Ron, she loved it, didn't she? Didn't she absolutely love it?
Yeah, it was fantastic to watch. Some great photos coming out too at Flemington as well. Appreciate the call, Ronnie. Keep them coming. 1353 53, the open line number. Coming up next hour, we're going to have a chat with Ty Anglin. We're going to get a sports update with Tanya, of course, taking your calls, 1353 53, your chance to win tickets to the Everest.